Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, welcome into ABQ Connect on a light, snowy day in Albuquerque. I understand that it's snowing like crazy up in Santa Fe, and we're going to be visiting today with Vince Torres. He is the Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, and he's a pastor. Vince, welcome into ABQ Connect.
Good afternoon, Jim. It's great to be with you.
Hey, now I'm a native New Mexican, so I get to say this. When we have snow or rain in our state, it's demolition derby time on the streets of New Mexico. And I want to just ask everybody to be careful driving. Those SUVs don't stop any sooner than those two-wheel drive vehicles. I know you have lots of traction, but be careful, stay safe. And Vince, sounds like you're warm and dry right now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful snowy day here at the state capitol in Santa Fe. And even though some things are shutting down because of the weather, our legislators are still at it, working hard to serve the people of our state. And we're working hard to keep track on what's happening so that we can hopefully keep some of your folks informed about things that they need to either be concerned about or be thankful for.
Well, Vince, let's get right into it, my friend. I'm going to start with the marijuana legislation because I know that that was in committee last week. Can you give us an update? What's kind of happening on legalizing marijuana in the legislature?
Absolutely. So the Senate bill is slowly working its way through the process. It had its first committee hearing in the Senate Public Affairs Committee last week and passed on a party line vote. I joined members of law enforcement and leaders from the business community, including the Greater Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce, to offer public testimony in opposition to that legislation based on some concerns that we have about its potential harms to public health and public safety in our state. The bill did advance, and it is now currently in the Senate Judiciary Committee. We expect a hearing either tomorrow or Friday, and so we will continue to keep your folks apprised on what happens there. In fact, our organization, Family Policy Alliance, will be sending out an action alert at some point today, encouraging our folks to contact the members of the Judiciary Committee and urge them to oppose the bill.
And Vince, let's talk a little bit about that technology Family Policy Alliance has. You send out those alerts. You go to a link when you receive those emails, and you can tell us how to sign up for them. I know I've done this multiple times, and based on my address, you then, when I respond to it, my response asking them to not vote for that legislation is actually automatically sent to my representatives in my district.
Yeah, so that's typically how all of our action alerts work. People can sign up to receive those on our website, familypolyance.com/New Mexico. Once you're added to our email list, you'll start to get those action alerts. And most often, we structure them in such a way so that folks are contacting their legislator. In this situation, because the bill has not yet made it to the floor, what we're encouraging folks to do is call the members and contact the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So there's 11 members in that committee. And so when you fill out our action alert, when you receive it later today or first thing tomorrow morning, that message will automatically go to all 11 members. And during the committee process, it's a little bit different because you have a small selection of legislators who are actually making a decision for the entire body in the House and the Senate as to whether or not legislation should advance or not. So in this situation, that message will go to all 11 members, Republicans and Democrats, again, encouraging them to oppose the bill. We just think it's a bad idea for New Mexico. We had law enforcement speak up publicly and talk about the fact that we don't have the resources that we need right now to help put an end to DUI and DWI in New Mexico. How are we going to then start to address the problems that will start to surface as a result of not drunk driving, but drug driving? So again, we'll get that information out either this afternoon or first thing tomorrow morning.
Vince, I understand that New Mexico has had a DUI problem that has been very bad for many years, but it's actually been improving over the last couple of years through the efforts of a lot of people, law enforcement mm-hmm. included. But I've noticed that national statistics, like, for example, in Colorado, they before they legalized marijuana, they actually had a decline in DUIs, but now they are back to increasing. Is that because of the legalization of marijuana?
Absolutely. So we've seen that in states that were actually kind of on a downward trend when it came to DUIs, suddenly see spikes again once legalization was put into place. And to your point, it wasn't just the state of Colorado, but in Washington. One of the more alarming statistics that we've seen in both of those states, one of which was just released this last week by AAA in the state of Washington, but we've seen marijuana impaired driving fatalities double in both of those states after legalization. So again, in a state like ours where we already have a DUI problem, the message that we've received from our local law enforcement is let's not add more problems to the problems that we already have.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some interesting things about legalized marijuana in our state. And I want to point out that there are a lot of states where legalized marijuana for medical purposes is legal, and it's not legal for recreational use. New Mexico would be an example of that. We've had legal medical marijuana for a number of years. I've had a number of Christian people on this program talking about using medical marijuana and the benefits it's brought to them. And I have no doubt that they believe that as a medication, certain applications of marijuana and cannabis-type products are very helpful to health of some people. But the interesting thing is that if you, for example, are a police officer and you are on medical marijuana, you are not allowed to carry a firearm if you are using any kind of medical marijuana product. And I find that interesting because that's highly supervised. It's measured, it's tracked, and a physician is actually supervising that whole thing. But if they're using those type of products, a law enforcement person cannot carry a firearm because I guess the legality, the legal issues and safety issues and all of those things are of major concern. So I can only imagine that recreational marijuana, which isn't limited. I mean, it'd be just like grabbing a six-pack of beer or something. Is that basically how it works?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point there. You know, one of the things that we've tried to make clear throughout this process is a couple things. Number one, it is that New Mexico already does allow for legalized medicinal cannabis. That's already in place. We have over 80,000 folks right now in New Mexico who are part of the medicinal cannabis program, and that's not something I personally oppose. So we already have that here. We've also last year taken steps to decriminalize small personal amounts of marijuana, which I also thought was a good idea. So again, what we're talking about here is just full-on recreational marijuana, marijuana becoming as accessible as, to your point, alcohol. And again, we've already seen the impacts of alcohol and what that has had here in New Mexico, especially as it relates to not only the abuse of that, but its impact on young people, accessibility issues with young people accessing alcohol. That's not going to go away with marijuana, even if it's properly policed. Teens are still going to get access to it. They're still going to have it. And again, some more troubling statistics from other states that we've looked at has been the impact specifically on youth, 12 to 17 years old. Colorado now leads the nation in first-time drug use among teens aged 12 to 17. That's not something that we want to bring here to New Mexico.
You know, I had a couple of guests on last week. I had Pastor Pedro with a drug rehabilitation ministry called Expect a Miracle here in Albuquerque. And what they do is they take people that are addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol or any other kind of addiction. And folks make a one-year commitment. They are self-contained. They don't charge people a lot of money. You just live in a community. They help you detoxify. They do all these different things. But Pastor Pedro himself and a couple of other people that came in to visit with us, one gentleman, James, he had been in the program for 4 years. And I just asked them, I said, how do you feel about legalized marijuana? Without even hesitating, Vince, they all said there is no way we should legalize marijuana in the state of New Mexico because it is an introductory drug. And they're terrified of what it could possibly do to our communities. Not because itself would destroy our communities, but it's kind of an introduction to drug use and can only result in further addictions and other problems. So I was surprised by their answer.
No, I certainly appreciate their input. Those are the folks that we should be listening to because, quite frankly, they're the ones who are on the ground serving the people who are trying to overcome drug addictions. And so that's good enough for me hearing from them that they think this is a bad idea, that there's a potential, you know, gateway effect there. That's all I need to know. And again, that's part of the argument that we've been making against recreational marijuana here in New Mexico is with all of the substance abuse and drug abuse problems that we already have, I don't know why we would want to make another substance, which, by the way, would continue to be illegal federally, readily available to people.
Vince Torres, the executive director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, is up in Santa Fe participating and working with our state legislatures and the leaders of our state as they contemplate things in day 11 of the state legislative session. We're going to be back with more from Vince right after these messages. Stay with us.
At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we believe that children are truly a gift from God. That's why we open our arms and our hearts to children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned, children who are hurting and scared. Although we have lots of love to give, caring also takes dollars. You can help provide a safe haven for these children by making a tax-deductible donation online at acchkids.org or by calling us at 898-5520.
What's more comforting on a cold winter morning than hot, fluffy pancakes drizzled with syrup, crisp bacon, juice, and a hot cup of coffee? It could be the comfort that you'll provide for the children of Albuquerque Christian Children's Home when you attend our annual pancake breakfast, Saturday morning, February 22nd from 8 to 11. Enjoy a great breakfast sponsored by Whataburger and Albertsons Market. Support the children of ACCH. Call 898-5520 for more information or directions, or visit acchkids.org.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
New Mexico is still known as the late-term abortion capital of the world. Last year, HB 51 and HB 90 were defeated because of your efforts.
Please join us again at Right to Life Committee of New Mexico as we work to save lives, protect women, protect children, and protect our doctors.
For more information on how you can again make a difference, call Right to Life Committee of New Mexico at 505-881-4563. That's 505-881-4563.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Our running back at the New Mexico legislative session is Vince Torres, executive director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. Are you? I hope you're going to run a little better than the 49ers did, Vince.
I do my best.
Hey, my friend, I'm just teasing. I thought the Super Bowl was a great, very entertaining thing. But my friend, you really are on the front lines. I mean, you've got some great people with you. You've got a great team. I know you partner a little bit with several different organizations. I might have you mention some of them that are standing alongside you and battling. So tell us who your partners are and how you're working and how people can get in touch with the Family Policy Alliance.
Yeah, so for folks wanting more information from us, the best way to do that is through our website, familypolicyalliance.com/New Mexico. We're also active on Facebook and Twitter, so you can search for us there. But as you mentioned, so much of what we do is building coalitions, and we do a lot of networking with our local allies and even some national allies. So, you know, last legislative session, we were heavily involved in helping spearhead the opposition to the abortion bill. We worked very closely with Ethel Maharg over at New Mexico Right to Life and Elisa Martinez over at New Mexico Alliance for Life. This year, with some of that abortion legislation put on the back burner, at least for now, we've been working heavily on the marijuana issue. And in that regard, it's been great to partner with leaders from the business community. Again, the New Mexico Business Coalition led by Carla Sontag. We had, friends from law enforcement there, the Greater Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce. And we're also working with a national group, bipartisan, known as, the name of their group is Smart Approaches to Marijuana. They go by SAM. And again, just another great group helping bring awareness to some of the dangers of recreational marijuana across the country.
Vince, what are the people saying that are pro marijuana? Why do they want marijuana? Does this all come down to tax revenues that they think will be generated for the state? I don't understand why they're so pro marijuana.
Yeah, the arguments from the folks and the lobby that are supporting this, it's it's almost entirely financial. You know, they see potential tax dollars. They see some job creation. And quite frankly, we don't argue that marijuana legalization wouldn't create some jobs and generate some revenue. We think that's only one part of the conversation, though, that we need to be having, because we need to weigh any sort of economic benefits against the societal costs. And when we do that, we see that it becomes a net loser. In fact, there was a report done out of Colorado by the Centennial Institute that for every dollar that Colorado has generated in revenue from the sale of marijuana, they've had to put out $4.50 to help offset some of the unintended consequences. And so, again, if we're just looking at dollars and cents and maybe a few jobs, that's one way to look at it, but we have to take a look at those unintended consequences. And in our mind, based on everything that we've seen in other states, the cost to New Mexico will far, far, far exceed any sort of benefit we would get from legalization.
And Vince, our state already, we've been having a little bit of a windfall because of what's going on in the oil and gas industry and the revenues that is generating. But the increase in jobs and the increase in oil production in the southeast part of the state is not resulting in an unbelievable number of additional car accidents, DUIs. What's happening is the economy is being fed. Oil and gas industry and the United States is now one of the largest producers in the world, so that we're no longer dependent on foreign oil. I mean, there's all kinds of good things that are happening, but we've got to be responsible as to how we spend this money. And I know that's a battle that you're constantly fighting. Now, you brought up the abortion bill, and we have the Family Policy Alliance. Ethel Maharg, her organization is doing some ads on KNKT about HB 51 last year and the late term abortion bill, and how you worked very closely with all kinds of churches, including the Archdiocese of Santa Fe. I know they participated in the Right to Life March last week, had a big service about that. Vince, I'm so excited because that's really the Christian community. It's not a Protestant Catholic thing. It's not a Democrat Republican thing. It's people coming together that are people of faith, people that hold Jesus as Lord, and they're coming together and trying to do stuff that's good for people and for our children and adults in our state. And that's an amazing thing. You've got a big job ahead of you, my friend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we've been honored and very excited to get buy-in and input from, again, all denominations. Calvary Albuquerque was a critical piece of that. The folks over at Legacy were critical last year. And again, we firmly believe, and this is where our role in our ministry, when we started here in New Mexico, we kind of took on the responsibility of trying to get the church engaged, because we know that when the church engages, when people of faith speak up, that we can still influence public policy in a very positive way. And so that was the difference last year versus every other year that we've been running and fighting this pro-life battle. Was last year the church engaged. I believe the Lord blessed it, and all glory to him for what happened. But ultimately it was because people of faith finally, you know, they continued to pray, but then they got out of their prayer closets and actually decided to step up and say something about it. They contacted their legislators. They contacted the governor, and that sent shockwaves through the state that, quite frankly, we're still feeling right now. In fact, you know, no one was more surprised than me when we got to the legislative session a couple weeks ago and it started to surface that the abortion issue was probably not even going to be on the special session agenda, even though the governor had told many folks, both locally and nationally, that it was going to be one of her top priorities. And then she went on TV and did an interview and basically told the person who was interviewing her she didn't have the votes, so she wasn't able to put it on the agenda. That's the sort of impact that we can have if we're willing to speak up and we're willing to get involved. And I'm looking forward to seeing how we can continue to do that moving forward, regardless of what gets thrown our way.
I'm going to parrot some coaching that you gave us the last time you were in studio with us. You told everybody that we could go to LEGIS, and that's .gov, I believe, to the New Mexico legislative website. And you can click on representative, and you can actually find who your representatives are. And even right now, people need to be contacting these folks via email or even phone calls. It probably can't get a hold of them during the legislative session, but constantly people need to be in touch with these legislators so that they know where we all stand. So it's nmlegis.gov for the New Mexico legislature. You can go right to legislators, find my legislator, and you can enter in your address. You can search by name or district. You can get their phone number. You can get their addresses. You can write. You can email. There's all kinds of ways that people can contact their legislators, and that's critical right now.
No, absolutely. And actually, this is a really good time for folks to do that. Again, that website, nmlegis.gov, under the legislators tab, you can actually, there's a link there that says find your legislator. You click on that, you put your address in, and it lets you know exactly who your state house representative is and who your state senator is. And this is a really good time to call the office. They actually have staff in their offices right now. You can leave messages. You can let them know how you feel. You can email them. And my encouragement is, don't just contact them when they do something that you're really upset about or something that you want them to do. Follow up with another conversation, an email or a phone call, thanking them for something positive that they have done. And it's not all bad in Santa Fe right now. There's a lot of bad legislation out there and some things that are definitely concerning to us. But there's a whole other slew of legislation that's moving through the process, some of which we're excited about and we support. And so I'd encourage folks to get on that website. The other thing that you can do on the nmlegis.gov website is you can watch the live webcast of committee hearings and floor sessions. In fact, my understanding is that later on this afternoon, the House of Representatives is going to be debating the state budget. And so if you care about how we're going to spend that almost $7 billion of taxpayer money, log in tonight and check out that webcast and watch the debate. This is a great opportunity for us to, get a peek into how people think, what's going on. And so if you don't have plans later on this afternoon, jump on the webcast and watch your government at work.
Vince Torres, the executive director of the Family Policy Alliance, on the phone from Santa Fe with us this afternoon. We're going to be back with more from Vince right after these messages. Stay with us.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
When we see horrific images of children suffering due to terrorism, emotions are natural, but that is not enough. We need to take action. Please save the date for Reload Love's annual Love Bomb, the weekend of February 8th and 9th. Listen to Lenya Heitzig.
Reload Love wants to drop the L-bomb. We have the opportunity to bring materials and counseling and encouragement right now to kids impacted by ISIS.
On February 8th and 9th, Reload Love launches its annual Love Bomb weekend, a 48-hour virtual campaign of giving to bring aid to children throughout the world who've been impacted by the horror of terrorism. Reload Love is an army of love, providing trauma relief, medical supplies, academic programs, and safe spaces for children victimized by terrorism. We dream of a day when children do not fear for their lives. But today, hope must be combined with action. Save the date to drop the love bomb, February 8th and 9th, reloadlove.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. And we are excited to have on the phone with us Vince Torres, the Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. Vince, appreciate it that you're here with us up in Santa Fe. I know you got lots on your plate. But before we start the positive side of what's going on in the legislature, I understand there's some debate that you may have at one point been the best three-point shooter in the governor's office when you were assisting Lieutenant Governor John Sanchez. Is this true?
That's a rumor. That's a rumor, and I'm not going to deny that. Okay.
Hey, John Sanchez, back in the day, I understand he used to run the hardwood himself. So we'll have to get him on the phone here and talk with him about that one of these days.
Yeah, no, he was definitely a good ball player back in the day. And when he was in the House, I know he led the House to a victory over the Senate during his freshman year in the legislature. So he was a ball player as well.
Hey, Vince, and that brings up a good point. Do you guys, I know you have, there's adversity up there, that nobody agrees on everything, which you never can expect that, but do the folks up there have fun together? I mean, is there a little bit of camaraderie and a little bit of fellowship and just fun that goes on during this time?
Yeah, I think one of the things that most New Mexicans would be very surprised to see, especially those who have never been to the Capitol in Santa Fe, I think they'd be surprised by the level of collegiality that exists among the members. Mm. And again, you have folks who adamantly disagree on certain issues, some stronger than others. You have folks who are somewhat in the middle, and then you have folks who are a bit more on the fringe politically. But I tell you, there is a level of collegiality that I've always admired and respected. And when I came into my first government job and my first introduction into New Mexico politics, I was a junior staffer in the Senate working for both the Democrat and the Republican senators. And I tell you, it was a really good, meaningful experience for me to see that at play and to see that play out. And so the same is true for us. We don't agree with folks on, you know, other groups that lobby at the Capitol. But we're always friendly. We're always nice. Some of them are not so friendly to us, but that's okay. In fact, the other day, Ethel and myself, Ethel from Right to Life, we found ourselves along with Dominique from Project Defending Life, another great organization in Albuquerque. But we were there to testify in favor of a bill before a committee. And I tell you what, you know, Planned Parenthood and the ACLU were there testifying in favor of the same bill. So, you know, it was one of those rare circumstances in which you had a piece of legislation that brought people together that are normally on opposite ends of the political spectrum, and we were able to, at least for a moment, agree on one particular thing. And that was great. You know, in fact, I encouraged one of the other groups on Twitter. I said, we should do this again sometime. You know,
yeah. John,
so
why
it's not
why do...
all bad, all division all the time.
Yeah. Tell us about the good things. You mentioned some positive bills moving through the process. Give us a review of those.
Yeah, one of the things that we've been carefully tracking and working again with our pro-life organizations on is to support House Bill 25. It's a bill introduced by Albuquerque Representative Gail Chasey, and it's a pregnant worker accommodation bill. And basically what they've done is they've struck a working compromise, if you will, with the hospitality industry and the business community to try to come forward with legislation that helps promote protections and provides protections for women who are in the workforce who get pregnant. There have been situations in which women have actually lost their jobs because they become pregnant and were unable to perform certain parts of the job. And what this bill does is basically it's a way for employers and their employees to come together and try to come up with some sort of reasonable accommodation so that, again, we're not just, as the pro-life community, supporting the unborn children, but we're also throwing our support behind the mother. And obviously that we know that, you know, if a mom loses her job because she gets pregnant, that's not good for the baby. That's not good for the mom. That's not good for that family. And that sort of thing just isn't good for New Mexico. So that's one bill that we'll be watching. It's on the House floor calendar. We'll probably pass the House, I'm expecting, with little opposition. And we're excited, again, to be able to bring people together, again, groups that are normally on opposite ends of the spectrum. But we agree on this issue. And,
yeah.
And I was thankful for that.
Vince, give us an example of a typical process for a bill. It's introduced by somebody. Is it then immediately go into committee and it's considered? And then there's a recommendation to the House. Tell us how that process works.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question because I think a lot of folks don't understand the complexity or the process by which it takes to actually get a bill signed into law. So the legislation is sponsored by one or more legislators in the House or in the Senate, and they can co-sponsor one another's bills. And once that bill gets introduced, it's then referred to at least two, sometimes three committees. Mm. And so the bill then begins to make its way through the process. It goes through one committee. Well, that committee can decide to either pass it on or to hold it back. And mm-hmm. So when you think about it that way, a bill has to be introduced, pass at least two to three committees, then it gets to the floor where it gets a full vote on either the House or the Senate. But once that happens, that's only 50% of the process, because it has to go then to the other side and do the same thing all over again. So if you have a House bill that's passed on the House, it has to then go to the Senate side, where it goes through that same committee process. It has to go to the full Senate for a vote. And then if the Senate tinkers with that House bill at all, it has to go back to the House for the approval of those amendments. And then finally, when all is said and done, it goes to the governor, and then she ultimately makes the decision as to whether to approve it or veto it.
Now, are the committees something that are constructed by the majority leader of either House, the House or the Senate? How are the committees constructed, and can a governor ram something through the process because there's more Democrats than Republicans? Tell us about that process.
Yes, so obviously having the majority comes with its benefits, you know, and so the committees are stacked in such to reflect basically the representation from the full body. So if it's 60% Democrat, 40% Republican, then the committee structure is basically aligned to do just that, 60%, 40. So and right now on both the House and the Senate side, the Democrats have near supermajorities, so all of the committees favor the Democrats by at least, you know, one, two, sometimes as many as four or five members. So, you know, when it comes to the governor wanting to ram something through or push something through, it still has to go through that process. And one of the things that we benefit from just as a nation and as a state is when our founders kind of created our legislative process, they put in particular rules in place to protect the minority so that they didn't just get completely overrun by whoever was in power. And so the minority still has, you know, plenty of tools at their disposal to slow things down. And at the end of the day, when it comes before a vote, every member just has one vote. You know, so it's one vote per member. And, I'm very, very appreciative of our process. And I love every year getting to see that process at play. It's an exciting thing to watch.
Vince Torres on the phone with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. He's the executive director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. Want to remind everybody that the best thing you can do is to get informed about what's going on. And you can get a lot of information from familypolicyalliance.com/New Mexico. Vince is going to stay with us for a couple more. Well, I should ask you if you're going to stay with us for a couple more segments. I hope you will. We'll be right back with Vince Torres right after these messages.
Hi, this is Lisa, the owner of Betty's Bath and Day Spa at 12th and Candelaria in Albuquerque. I highly recommend Advanced On-Site Protection Security. We're part of their Security On Demand program. They respond quickly when we need them with professionally trained security officers. And the great thing is we only pay for security when we need it.
Call Advanced On-Site Protection Security for security on demand. 505-897-1307. That's 505-897-1307.
Okay, Grandpa and Stella, let's go over our list. We've got to make sure we're ready to open our downtown Monroe's at 4th and Mountain. Are we serving the same great Monroe's food?
Same menu, same recipe, same cooks, new kitchen.
Check. Ready to give the same great service to our customers?
Same wait staff, new dining room.
Check. Same great Monroe's atmosphere?
Of course. Same friends and family and air conditioning.
Check. We're ready. Monroe's on us soon. And coming soon, the new Monroe's downtown at 4th and Mountain.
Most of us wake up to pain, fatigue, and just feeling sick. Much of this can be greatly helped. Learn to lose weight, fight inflammation, pain, fatigue, and become overall healthier. No judgment, just help. It's all about biblical nutrition and health. Join us for a free class with Pastor Scott Tom. It starts soon. You must register online at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Have you ever wondered why people dread buying a new car? Maybe it's because of the way they were treated in the past. Maybe they were disrespected, or maybe they were even lied to. Well, none of us can change the past, but at Power Ford, we can help you write the future. We're a different type of dealership, so you have a different type of experience. We believe in doing the right thing, building trust, and leading with our values. Faith, family, and then Ford. We're here to help. Just ask. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance, Vince Torres, updating us on the 11th business day of the New Mexico legislative session. It's going to be a 30-day session. And Vince, sounds like some positive things are happening, but unfortunately we've got to go back and talk about things like the sex offender loophole. Tell us what that is and what's happening with that issue.
Yeah, one of the things that I think many New Mexicans probably became aware of after the Jeffrey Epstein fiasco that took place was that New Mexico has a loophole in our sex offender registry laws that basically allows a sex offender convicted in another state to avoid having to register here in New Mexico because of the conviction in another jurisdiction. And so there have been some efforts, one specifically recently, to try to close that loophole. And unfortunately, it was kind of an odd turn of events there. Something that had bipartisan support, was co-sponsored by one Democrat and one Republican. That bill went before a committee, and unfortunately, that bill was tabled by two of the Democrats on that committee for various reasons that they stated. But I think it's just, you know, concerning. Obviously, we want to do things that help protect, you know, our public and in the best interest of public safety. And this is a dangerous loophole. And I'm hoping that at some point, some other bill is brought forward to close that loophole.
Vince, one of the things that you've talked to us about on your past visits here to ABQ Connect is the fact that our children are being sexualized at a very early age. Tell us things that your organization is doing to prevent that from happening.
Well, one of the things I think that we are trying to encourage folks to do, especially parents, is to just be aware of what's actually happening, not only in community centers, but also in the public school system. Our organization worked hard to bring some public awareness regarding some of the drag queen story times that were taking place in Albuquerque, and they're now happening in cities across America. That's just one situation, though. I think one of the greater concerns that we have as an organization is we're starting to see highly erotic, illicit, sexualized sex education make its way even into elementary schools in some places like California. And so I would just encourage any of the parents who are listening in to keep tabs on what's happening in your school. Make sure you're talking with the teachers and the administrators. And if you sense anything that's problematic, especially in the area of sex education, don't hesitate to reach out to us and let us know. We'd be happy to look into it for you. I know all parents are, you know, many of our parents are very, very busy. But if you sense that something is wrong or inappropriate, it probably is, let us know about it. We'd love to look into it for you.
So you mentioned abortion early on. Right now, there's not a bill on the table for another late-term abortion. HB 51 last year was defeated, and maybe the governor's gotten the message, but you're still wary, aren't you, that there's possibility that something similar. I've heard it said that New Mexico is the capital of the United States in late-term abortions. Would you explain what that is, Vince, and what you might be expecting to happen in our state in terms of legislation?
Yeah, one of the sad realities, Jim, is that New Mexico has become a late-term abortion tourist destination. In fact, a colleague of mine who is working right now at the legislature in Kansas let me know that there was public testimony presented in Kansas from a woman who was too far down the line, too far late in her term to legally get an abortion in Kansas. And so what did she do? She flew to New Mexico. She flew to Albuquerque and was able to get that procedure here. And that's just one story. We know that's happening. In fact, if you go to the Planned Parenthood Clinic or Curtis Boyd's abortion clinic in Albuquerque and you look at the license plates, you will see that so many of them are out of state, because what we now have are women who are later in the pregnancy coming to New Mexico to circumvent the laws that are in place to protect them and their child in their home state. So that's what's happening here in New Mexico, and that's why we've earned the infamous reputation of being the late-term abortion capital of the country. It's a sad reality of what's happening here in our state. The governor did not put an abortion bill on the legislative agenda, but that can change. Introduction of legislation can happen all the way until tomorrow. But even after that, there are bills which are called dummy bills, which can be used to introduce a new piece of legislation. So we're just being very careful. We don't want to claim any sort of victory or move past this session and then something pop up and we're unprepared for it. One thing that we have heard is that the governor has publicly already stated through one of her spokespeople in her office that if there's any attempt to undermine or overturn Roe v. Wade at the U.S. Supreme Court, she will likely call a special session on abortion just to try to codify what we've already talked about, that abortion up to the moment of birth in New Mexico. And so one of the things we're going to be doing at Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico is watching very carefully some of the upcoming decisions coming out of the U.S. Supreme Court this summer, one of which involves a challenge to a Louisiana law that we are hoping the court will uphold. And if that happens, I think you may see some movement here in New Mexico, again, to try and codify radical abortion up to birth.
You know, when you talk about Roe v. Wade, that was a Supreme Court decision that was made many years ago. I don't know how many, but the technologies that were available then are not the same as they are now. And Vince, I understand, aside from spiritual conviction and morals and all those other things, that there's actually a big movement in among women that are now against abortion because they now realize, based on the technology alone, that this is a living, breathing person inside of them. Do you find that to be true?
No, that's absolutely true. And in fact, one of the interesting things that we saw for the first time in 2019, I believe it was Gallup. I believe it was the Gallup poll. But for the first time, according to one poll that's been tracking these trends for some time, women are now statistically more pro-life than men are. Mm-hmm. And that's been a long time coming. So to your point, yes, the technology has certainly advanced. We now know more. We can see more through this amazing, 3D, 4D ultrasound technology. And to your point regarding the Roe v. Wade decision, that was one of the things that the justices in that case way back in 73 acknowledged, was that they were making that decision based on the information that was available to them then. In fact, Justice Blackmun, who wrote the majority opinion, actually said in the court document, in the Roe v. Wade decision, that if personhood were ever established for that unborn child, they would be guaranteed a right to life by the 14th Amendment. And so if the court now were to overturn or begin to undermine Roe v. Wade, it wouldn't be simply overturning a previous decision without regard for that decision, because the justices back in 73 acknowledged very clearly in the decision that they were making that decision based on the information that they had at that time. We know so much more now. We can see so much more now. And we are praying and hoping for the day when we finally see Roe v. Wade overturned.
Vince, when we come back from this little break, I want to talk to you about another subject, and that is the people that you pastor in Santa Fe. And you've got a little different role than you do in the Family Policy Alliance. So when we come back, more with Vince Torres. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're visiting today with Holly Slade, with Dave Slade and Associates. Holly, we appreciate, of course, your sponsorship of KNKT and all that you've done here over the years, along with Dave. You've been buying and selling homes for a very long time, so you're the expert I go to when I've got questions.
Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate that.
If someone is in a home and they're thinking about selling it, is there an advantage to doing any remodeling before they sell?
You know, there is. We always have to be careful about over-improving a home if you're going to sell it quickly. If you're going to stay in your home for a period of time, then you can do something like a full kitchen renovation. But if you're planning on selling, you might just want to do some updates to your kitchen, such as paint your cabinets or add new hardware. The same for the bathroom. You've got to really watch over improving so that you get your money back out of it.
Prior to that, there's those marks around the handles. If you're not going to replace hardware, just cleaning, making sure it's a nice clean space to come into.
There is nothing like a clean house with a fresh coat of paint where people feel like they can just come in and bring their furniture and move right in. They don't want to have to do a whole lot of work before they move in.
Well, that's some great information, because before someone goes out and spends a lot of money on remodeling, it could be something that is more than they need to do. But, of course, the best way to make sure you're doing the right thing is to talk to the expert, like I do when I talk to you. What's the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
They should give us a call at our office, which is 505-342-8100.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're now talking to Pastor Vince Torres. He's actually the director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico and also pastoring a church up in Santa Fe. Vince, tell us a little bit about your church and how people might come by and visit you on a Sunday.
Well, we'd love to have you. I'm honored and privileged to serve as the executive pastor at Blaze Christian Fellowship here in Santa Fe. I serve alongside my pastor, our teaching pastor, our lead pastor, Carlos Montoya, and we're a nice little fellowship with lots of families, very diverse church. And in short, we just believe in the power of the Scripture to change lives, so we preach through books of the Bible, much like our friends at Calvary Chapel. In fact, most of us came out of Calvary, and just a nice little church that I'm honored and privileged to be part of. Love our people, and so thankful that they give me the opportunity not only to serve them in that capacity, but also in the capacity that we're talking about today.
Well, Vince, you're going to be mad at me, but I'm going to get you to put your congregation and the congregations of all the other churches around New Mexico, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. Are Christians getting out and getting involved in the political process, Vince?
They are, you know, and as I mentioned earlier, that was really the difference between what we've seen in previous years and what we saw last year. I've been at the Capitol for years when it's just been a handful of faithful people showing up, but never in the droves that we saw this last year. I mean, in 2019, we had, you know, at least three pro-life events, two of which eclipsed over 1,000 people in attendance. This year, during our March for Life, we had over 1,000 people as we partnered with the Archdiocese of Santa Fe for the Life Walk. And we had 600 people at the Rotunda for our pastor's prayer time and our rally for life. So, I mean, it's been very, very encouraging to see folks, again, from all denominations, different churches, setting aside some of the differences that tend to divide us, and instead uniting under the blood of Jesus to come forward and to make a solid stand for those who cannot speak for themselves, the unborn children of our state.
When you look at the media, Vince, and I know you are in some ways part of the media, you're putting out a message, you're talking with the media constantly. Tell us about the bias of the media. For example, you mentioned the Right to Life March, the Sanctity of Life March, that was the second day of the New Mexico legislature. The only real newspaper I saw that reported on that was the Santa Fe New Mexican, and I was surprised by that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but quite frankly, it's something that we've become accustomed to. It's always amazing to me that some of our local media outlets, including our television stations and major newspapers, will show up at the Capitol, to cover a pro-abortion rally with 40 or 50 people in attendance and at the same time neglect one of the largest pro-life gatherings in our state. It's one of the realities that we face here. But the good news is we're not in this for the publicity. We're not in this for the media coverage. Mm-hmm. We are in this because we know and we believe that we are on the right side of this issue. And so we're not doing it for our names or our pictures in the paper or on the television. We're doing it because we're taking a stand for righteousness, and we want New Mexico to abandon this culture of death that we are so sadly known for and get to a place where we are actually known as one of the most pro-life states in the country. I believe that's where we're headed. I believe that is where God is going to take us. And if the church will continue to speak up and engage like they have been over these last year and a half or so, we're going to get some stuff done.
Speak to the individuals in the faith community now. How can they come alongside you? You know, you might refer us back to your website, how they can get your notifications and all the things that you provide us.
Well, I appreciate that. And to all of your listeners who are faithfully supporting us through prayers and financial gifts and through messages and emails and encouragement, I just want to personally thank you, not only on behalf of myself, but my family and our organization. I cannot tell you how much that means to us. So thank you for all the support that we already receive. My encouragement to the Church of New Mexico is that for too long, we've been widely known as this sleeping giant. And the time for us to engage is now. I really do feel that our state is really at a breaking point. And I'm not sure which way it's going to break, but I do know this, that if the people who know their God, this is Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, if the people who know their God stand firm and take action, which is what the Bible encourages us to do, I think we can drastically change the direction of our state and make New Mexico a place that's not known again, for its late-term abortions and its poverty and its poor education, I'm convinced that we can become a pro-life state, a state where we are thriving financially, where families are growing, where our First Amendment rights are thriving. That can happen here. But in order for that to happen, we have to speak up, we have to get up, and we have to consider each and every day what sphere of influence God has given us to make a difference. Some of your listeners, that may mean that they are called to run for office. And as always, we are always looking for good Christian candidates who are willing to step into the public sphere and serve publicly. So whatever sphere you have, whatever God is calling you to do, just be simply faithful to do that. And I'm convinced that God has great things in store for our state.
And you can get more information about the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico by going to familypolicyalliance.com/New Mexico. And tell us about how to sign up for your alerts.
Yeah, so once you go to our website, you can scroll down, and there's a little box there where you can actually sign up for our emails. Once you sign up for our emails, we don't bombard you with too much, but you will start to get, at the very least, weekly updates, sometimes a couple emails for a week if other stuff is moving. And I encourage you to do that today because, again, we are going to be releasing some action alerts later on this afternoon or tomorrow morning, and we'll need folks to engage. So please sign up, and if you have any questions, you can also contact us at the information page on familypolicyalliance.com. We'll do our best to get back with you. Obviously, it's a busy season for us, but we try to respond to as many messages that come in as possible.
Vince, we've got about 6 minutes left with you. If you can stay with us, I've got to take one last break. I want to mention to everybody that a real fun night's going to be happening this Thursday night. Toby Mack and the Hits Deep Tour is going to be in actual Rio Rancho at the Santa Ana Star Center. Toby Mack, Torrin Wells, Jordan Felice, We Are Messengers, Ryan Stevenson, Aaron Cole, Cochran and Company. It's going to be a fabulous concert. We've had the opportunity to interview Ryan Stevenson a couple weeks ago here on the program, and Darren Mulligan, who is the lead singer and guitarist for We Are Messengers. These guys are fired up. They're ready to come to New Mexico, and it's going to be a good time. Tickets available on Ticketmaster. So stay with us. We're going to have Vince Torres back for a short segment. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Happy Valentine's Day from Slater Transfer and Storage. Nothing makes the heart smile more than sharing the special day with the ones you love. Slater Transfer and Storage, moving with integrity. 505-345-8841.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Want to remind everybody, skiers and snowboarders, Wolf Creek Skerry is 100% open with all lifts operating from 8:30 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I always kind of laugh when I read this. Midway base depth is 72 inches, so they only have 6 feet of snow. unbelievable. Wolf Creek is an absolutely beautiful place. So if you're looking for some skiing, I know Santa Fe ski area and skiing just around the state in general is fantastic. So we got a short segment now left with Vince Torres. We thank you for staying with us on the program. Vince, how have you been doing up there in the session? You've been being able to have some productive meetings and getting some things done while you're up there?
Yeah, absolutely. I love this time of year as demanding as it is with some long days and potentially some long evenings coming up here. I truly enjoy this time because I actually relish the opportunity to get to know our elected officials on both sides of the aisle. One of the neatest things that I'm blessed to do during the session is to help lead a legislator Bible study on Tuesday morning. So this morning I was with a good friend of mine from here in Santa Fe, Pastor Reed Reedus at the First Baptist Church. We helped co-lead that study. It's something that my good friend Pastor Brian Allered handed off to us this year. And it's been great to just spend some time before all the chaos breaks to start off a Tuesday morning, early in the morning with some coffee and some Chick-fil-A and just diving into God's Word. So that's been a blessing. And again, it's a bipartisan thing and we have folks from both sides of the aisle there. And it's truly nice just getting to know them in more of a personal level. And what we tend to see in those studies is as our legislators are able to step out of the spotlight and the pressures of the office they hold, it's really neat just to get to know who they are as a person. And we have some fantastic, wonderful people serving us in the legislature, and I'm great to call many of them personal friends.
We are one of the few states in the country that doesn't actually pay a salary to our representatives. Is that really a big problem for a lot of legislators?
You know, it definitely presents a challenge, and again, we are one of the few states in the country that still have a quote-unquote citizen legislature. They do not get paid a salary. In lieu of a salary, they get what's called a per diem, which is about $153 a day, I believe, which for those of us that live in Santa Fe, we know that's not much to live off of. But many of these legislators, you know, they sacrifice time away from their businesses. Some are retired, but a lot of them are practicing attorneys. They own small businesses. They're in real estate. And so for a lot of them, this actually costs them something to serve. I assure you, they're not in this for the money because the money doesn't exist. So for many of them, they take a significant loss to come to Santa Fe and to serve, especially those that represent the rural parts of the state that have to commute and stay here for the 30 days or the 60 days. And so, you know, I just want to take a moment to thank all of our legislators serving right now. Thank you for your service. We know it comes at a cost to you financially and definitely is a sacrifice for your families. We appreciate your service.
Well, I was really blessed by what you said earlier that we ought to take the time not just to complain or to ask for a favor or for favor in general with a legislator or a senator, but we ought to reach out and say thanks for sponsoring bills, for voting for bills. Vince, how can we find out what side one of our representatives are on in terms of a bill?
Yeah, the best thing to do is, and quite frankly, the New Mexico legislative website that I talked about, nmlegis.gov, there's so much good information on there. And the best thing to do is to actually take a look at some of the legislation that's passed. And what you can do is you can actually access the vote sheet. So you can find out exactly how your legislator voted, even if you wanted to go back to last session and see how your state representative or state senator voted on House Bill 51. That's all available on that legislative website. You can actually print the sheet and know exactly what sort of votes that they're taking, not only on the floor, but also some committee votes are also registered there. And that's the best way to do it. However, my encouragement is if you want to know where your legislator stands on an issue, it's best to just call them up and ask them. Call them up at their office phone number, leave a message for them, send them an email, and let them know that this is what you feel, this is where your concerns are, and ask them, where do you stand on this issue? That's what it looks like for our people to engage in civic responsibility, and it's something that I encourage everybody to take time to do, especially during this time of year when our government is actually at work.
Vince, I'm not leaving you a lot of time to answer this question. We got about a minute left, a little bit less. How about education bills going through the process? Anything positive in that arena?
Well, you know, education is always a challenge here in New Mexico. And I think one of the things we have to be careful about is continuing just to put bandages on that education wound by continuing to put more money into it. There's kind of a misconception out there that often gets stated that we don't invest enough money in education. The truth is we spend a lot more per capita than most of our surrounding states, and yet they're consistently overperforming. So education is a much more broad topic. We could probably devote an entire show to that. But in that regard, we still have some work to do. So continue to pray for the governor, pray for the legislators, and we'll hope for some good outcomes for the future of our state.
The Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico at familypolicyalliance.com/New Mexico. Vince Torres, thanks for being with us on ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be with you.
See you tomorrow.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.